You that. I want you to open your Bible tonight for a little while. Book of Exodus, chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses. Just a few verses in chapter 1 of Exodus. The book of Genesis ends as a sad commentary. It begins with man's fall into sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You get down to the last two verses of the book of Genesis, it ends in death. It ends with a good man by the name of Joseph dying, being embalmed, and that's what the Egyptians, you see that on the news and the documentaries all the time. They were good about this business of preserving dead bodies, amen? And they embalmed Joseph, but Joseph extracted a promise as he took the prophetic view, as I was thinking as Chad was singing, Joseph was looking down the road a ways, and he said, when you leave Egypt, take my body with you. And that's exactly right. That's what happened. I don't recommend going to Hollywood movies, but I think about the movement, the movie The Ten Commandments, way back there. And they had it pretty well right. Back then, Hollywood was not mocking the Bible so much. They got that story fairly good. And one of the details they got in it was when you saw all the people leaving Egypt, it showed them carrying the casket of Joseph. And so we get to chapter 1 of Exodus. Kind of some time has passed now. I don't know how much time, but quite a little bit. And I want to talk to you tonight with words we'll pick up here in the text in just a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit about dealing with the generation gap. First time I heard that word to pay it any attention was about 3 years ago. I was attending a watch night service in the country church before I came here as pastor. We were pastoring up there in the country, and everybody knew that where we were at was at least 20, 25 years behind even Haines City. And so it was back. And by the way, that looks pretty good right now, I'll tell you the truth. It looks pretty good. But anyhow, at that particular time, I mean, the citizens there knew it. We knew it. It was an amazing thing. My wife can tell you. By the way, little girls 13 years old could make biscuits and cook like a man. Culture that had been preserved since pioneer days. Truthfully, that's my wife. Stuff like that. Anyway, we were in a little watch night service. Probably had 100 people there that night, maybe. And it come time for testimonies. And one of the men stood up and he said, I thank God, you know, I recognize we're 20 years behind the city, but he said, I thank God for a lot of things, and one of the things I thank God for is we don't have a generation gap with our kids. And that made me think, that is something to be thankful about. As a family, that is something to be thankful about. If your kids have grown up on your side instead of the world's side. Because the world moves on. It keeps moving on. That's why the gap is created. You understand that, don't you? Now, we can joke about the gap some, and there's some funny sides on, you know, both sides to it. I remember as a kid, about 3 or 4 years old, we'd go to town on Saturday. It was about 7 or 8 miles away, the little town. And right in the middle of the town, what you'd call a city block, was about three-story building, big square building. It was the most modern thing for miles and miles around. Didn't have air conditioning in it, had those big old fans. And it had a soda fountain in it. You could buy a harness for the mules on one corner of that building. You could buy groceries. You could buy clothing of any kind. You could buy furnishings for your house. It was the first shopping mall. All in one great big old building. It's still standing. Now it's not the same store, but it's still standing. And so when we kids would go there, we always wanted to wind up in the soda fountain to get an ice cream. You ever been, you know, you endure the shopping to get the treat? Well, first time I ever remember seeing ice cream in an ice cream cone, and it was a double barrel. But like this, and it had one cone, one handle coming down between them. You ever see any of those? and they'd fill them up there with ice cream. So that was a big deal, brother. And we would be eating the ice cream, and I heard Mother start laughing. She was laughing at my grandmother, who lived with us much of the time, because Grandma was fussing that we were going to have to pay for those cups we were eating. You understand what I'm talking about? She had never seen the cone, and when we kids bit into it, she thought those had to be returned. Now you're getting it. Now listen to me a minute. That was a little culture gap there. Sometimes you see bigger ones than that. No doubt about it. I do know of a person that actually bought a Volkswagen car, those little Beetles, and drove it for several months before they found out it had a reverse in it. Anybody ever have one of those? You understand what happened to them? And they said, it's a great car, but we're so tired of having to push it backwards because it don't have a reverse. Now, there's a little culture gap there. You understand? And we can laugh at that. But then on the other side, some of the things that we wish could have been retained have been lost and forgotten. I mentioned the other night spinning a top. Most of you had the dumbest look on your face. You've never lived till you've done that. Amen. And you say, somebody asked me, did you make Case a toy during? I did. Then I got so mad at myself. I made one, and just before I got it finished, Stephen and Paula found one, store-bought one, that had been laid up, given to Case a few years back by his other grandpa. And they knew he couldn't handle it, so they put it up in the closet. And Paula remembered that thing and found it and brought it to me. There it was, still in the little box, little green string and everything. And I took it out of the box. Robbie, I wound it up like you're supposed to, and I threw it, and it bounced all over the floor and went everywhere. Would not spin. Now, I don't let things whip me very easy. I threw that thing. I talked to that thing. I read the instructions. I'm desperate when I start reading instructions, I'll tell you that. And they wanted you to fold your hand over backwards and throw it somehow or another. We never done that as kids. We just threw it and popped the string and the thing spun. I felt like a fool. As a second grader, I could throw that thing, pop it, third, fourth, fifth grade. Now, could he make it spin as a 74-year-old grandpa? You know what I figured out? Figured out it wasn't me. It was a stupid top. So what'd you do? I invented something. I got my drill out and got some fish lead. And when I got through with it, it hit on the point every time. And it spun, and I'm gonna patent that invention. Now here's my thing. They lost the technology they had when I was in the second grade. There's a gap there somewhere. Now, if you twist your wrist just right and throw it, it'll spin a little while and die. You fix it right and it'll just spin like crazy, man. Pick it up in your hand and hold it. Most of you don't know a thing I'm talking about. That's technology lost. That's a gap that's come in there somewhere or another. And I want to read you about the gap right here. In these first, let's read the first eight verses and a few names here and so on. But now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. You know the story. He names the sons now. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, and Naphtali, and Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Don't you get that point? He died, his brethren died, it says, and all that generation. Now, I don't want to park on this thing or argue about a generation, but a period of time went by. A gap is here. And says the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. They're being blessed of God, and they're growing great number. And here's where I want you to look, verse 8. And now it says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Here's where the gap comes now. Here's a new king. He don't know how God raised up Joseph to save Egypt from the famine. He don't know about the 7 good years in which the food was stored up, and the 7 years of famine that came on, and how that Pharaoh had elevated Joseph. I don't know what happened. Maybe the I don't know what the political parties were here, whether the Democrats got in control or what, but they brought in a new king that didn't know Joseph, and something got lost in the generation gap. And it spelled bad news for the Jews. I mean, things were going good. They were multiplying. They were treated so well. You remember how Pharaoh treated Jacob? Everything was going so good, but there was a change. And the new king come in, and he said, these people are out multiplying us. And the next thing you know, they'll be greater than we are, and we'll lose power to them. So what we want to do here is penalize them and fence them in. And that's what they did. And they put taskmasters over them. They made slaves out of them, is what it amounted to. And so things changed, and changed real, real bad. Now, let me just say this about a generation gap. Here we're reading about one right here. It's not always been that the gap was so big. It has happened at different times. But as we look at America, the history of America was, to start with, we were rural people. We were out on the farms. And by the way, don't kid yourself, if the farms fail, you won't eat very long. Because the stores only hold so much back in stock. The farm is still important. But in the early days of America, you had a family, and many times more than one family, that was on the same farmland, on the same place, the old homestead, and kids grew up very much like their parents did, who grew up very much like their parents did. And there wasn't too big of a gap in there, and the culture pretty well held the same. That's the way it used to be. Now, growing up, kids learned a skill. Whatever daddy was good at, you'd pretty well find the son was good at. The saying Jews used to have, and it's still true, is that a father that does not teach his son a trade raises a thief. And that's pretty well, that one big inclusive statement would show you a lot of America's troubles right now. But what happened? You know, I can't prove this, but there's a strong theory, and maybe even some scriptural evidence. If you count to give any credit to the book of Enoch at all, which is not a Bible book, but it is as old as the Bible books, and Enoch is in the Bible, you know that, don't you? He was, by the way, he was the first translation. I'm joking a little bit, but he was translated, went on home with God. And anyway, if you believe some of that, in Genesis chapter 6, the bad angels that came down and mated with these daughters of men and brought all the trouble, and maybe even the building of the Tower of Babel, and caused God to bring the flood in Noah's day, that crew that came down, it is said that one of the things they taught man was to what's called civilization by quote the liberal historians, but it was to gather them all into big cities. And if you want to know where the crime centers are and the trouble is in America, it's the big cities. You want to see where the crooked elections take place, it's in the big cities. You want to see where your tax money is wasted above any place else, it's in the big cities. And a man's culture began to go downhill. And the truth is today, you might not be in danger from one dog out there on the street, but you better be careful when it's a pack of dogs. And man's not much better in his depravity. The bigger group you get together, the more in danger they are of doing wrong. And so we got the gang problems and all of that, and that still ties into what I'm talking about right here. It plays to the depraved side of man. But the early beginning in America, and if you want to trace it back a little bit, our colleges, so called to be the higher citadels of learning, became the pits of hell in helping to develop what's called a generation gap or a culture gap that we're dealing with today.
That's right.
All you got to do is look at some of them professors. They favor Karl Marx more than they do any American. And their philosophy favored him. And so we had kids in the classroom, many of them leaving the farm, but maybe a generation or two back from the old home life. But they go to college and they get all this Marxism taught them. And it's anti-Americanism, it's anti-values and everything. And that's what they got taught in the classroom. Pretty soon they're out on the streets demonstrating, and that takes us into the areas of 1960 to the 60s. And using many of you are old enough to know, that's the first time we saw kids, so-called students, taking over college campuses, riding in the streets, and the stupid news media running around with a camera to get everything they could. And so a movement got going that created a culture that we're still having to pay for today. And that culture that was on the streets in the 60s, and much of it is in Washington, D.C., in high places today. It was there on the Clintons. It's there on the Obamas. It's there, because, and all of a sudden, we wonder about the crazy things that's being done. They're being done because that's what they've been trained to do. That's their values. And what is strange to them is the old values that some of we folks still want to live by that don't fit the new pattern. That's what it amounts to. Now, we look around today and we say, well, where'd we get where we're at? We got there with a lot of different tools being used. Of course, the TV was one. TV got us to laughing at sin and all the rest of it. Bad politics come in. The Vietnam War with all the protesters and the drugs, and maybe the war wasn't the best one we ever had. Maybe the ones we're in now's not. But if we went in with a win attitude, we'd have been through with it in a hurry. And it cost a lot less lives, and our country would be a lot better off. It's this attitude of treating war like it was a crime instead of war that's got us in trouble right now. But parents and kids have developed a gap, not just the kids' fault. They're only doing what they've been trained to do. You understand what I'm saying? Parents that had no time for them. Moms that had to have careers above being moms is a big part of it. Dads that's too busy. And the kids learn from who then? They learn from the TV, which is wrong. That's a fantasy world. And then number two, they learn from their peers. Who are the peers getting it from? Their peers. So what you got is the blind leading the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. And kids, listen to me. Your mom and dad, your Sunday school teacher, your day school teacher should be a whole lot smarter than a kid your same age. Quit thinking a kid your same age or a year older than you knows something you don't know. He's guessing. He's bluffing. He don't know peanuts. You need to get somebody higher than that to learn from. But that's what's happened. So now we've got a generation gap that's come up, because the basics of the old days has been lost. And the hippies of the 60s are now parents. More than that, in many cases, they're grandparents. Now, here's what's happening. They're reaping, and in many cases, their kids shock them, because it always, whatever standard you lower to, there's always one lower. And so their kids went lower, and now the grandkids lower. And yes, it's true, some of the 60s hippies wised up a little bit. You got fellows like Bill Ayers that was involved all over the TV as I think President Obama held his first political meeting in his living room. You know the story. Bill Ayers was a radical that should still be in jail for trying to bomb and kill people in the 60s, but somehow he's, guess who he's working for? A college. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Anybody of you recognize the name Angela Davis? Well, she was an avowed communist and even run for president on the communist platform. When I first took this church in 71 and 2, I watched her on the TV in a little old yellow house I was living in right back here, about where our kitchen is right now in the cafeteria. I watched her get up and blaspheme America right and left and run on the communist ticket. And I believe it was Gus Hall that ran with her. Some of you guys helped me, wasn't it? He was a communist that said he'd be happy when he could take the last preacher and take his guts and strangle the last congressman with him. That's quite a platform to run on. Gus Hall and Angela Davis, that was the team. And no, they didn't get very many votes, but I'll tell you what, they had a radicalized audience in the colleges with the college professors and the anti-war Vietnam protesters in the streets, and a culture gap was being built that we're seeing reach its peak today. That's what's going on. Now, the new chaos we've got in leadership today, that's the foundation behind it. No true historical foundation. That's why our president can't come out and call a terrorist what he is. This fellow that just tried to blow up the airplane, why, he's just an isolated extremist. Isn't that what he said in his speech? I agree with ex-Vice President Cheney on this, that President Obama don't want to admit we're in a war. But we are in a war. And how come he can't say he was a Islamic jihadist? Because that's what he was. And he was not isolated. We've already found out he had a big network behind him. Two in the network, as you've seen in the news in the last couple of days, come out of Gitmo down there, released 2 years ago, went back to Yemen, and now they're in leadership positions planning the attack on the airplane. Where are we going with this crazy stuff? Common sense people, sense of gap that's existing right now, you see it from the little things up to the top. I don't know. Maybe you saw it on the news as a guy. I believe he's right here in Florida. Sounded like a pretty straight shooter. Never heard of him before. But he's putting up road signs. Anybody see that? Putting up road signs, basically telling America to wake up. And he was flying the American flags upside down on the sign. Do you understand an upside down American flag is a signal of distress, of a SOS? And he was saying to this country, we're in distress. I'm sending you an SOS. If we don't wake up, we're going down the tubes. We are, folks. That's what is happening. And as we think on a new year coming, I want to greet it with all the optimism I can, but I'm still not foolish enough to think anything's changing just because the calendar changed. But I like one thing the guy put on one of his signs. I think this is one of his statements. If not, it's something I got somewhere else. But I believe it was on one of his signs. He said, politicians are like dirty baby diapers. They need changing for the same reason. That's pretty good. Wish I'd thought of that myself. That's pretty well the message. That's pretty well it. That's the chaos we're involved in right now. Can't even admit who the enemy is. Right after 9/11, and they had that unity meeting in the cathedral in Washington right after the 9/11 attack, New York, Washington, where it was. There was no Jewish rabbi to ask him his opinion of it. You remember at that particular meeting, you had President Bush speak, you had Billy Graham speak, and you had a Islamic clergy speak, an imam or whatever they call him. And he got up there with double talk and said the bad guys will be punished. But the bad guys he was talking about was us. So they asked this Jewish rabbi what he thought about it. He said, America's already lost. And the reporter said, what do you mean we've already lost? He said, because number one, you won't recognize the enemy. That was at 9/11. How true that has been ever since. while President Bush did try to recognize it and had them scared for a while, until the liberals got out of the woodwork and began to put on the pressure, and he basically backed down. But there's a culture change. We see it even in those that attend church. Do you know, as a lost boy, if I'd walked in a church, I'd walked in quiet. You wouldn't have caught me talking to the neighbor. I've told you before, and I don't want to get into the details, but a boyfriend and myself did walk into a church in Auburndale, Florida, a night service, Sunday night probably, could have been a Wednesday night. We walked in with two of the church girls and walked in and sat down with them. They said the girls were sitting between us. They picked up the songbooks. And by the way, in the song service, young people and old alike, if you're like me and you can't sing, stand there and open the book, move your lips. Amen. Show some reverence, show some respect. You don't talk to your neighbor. You don't fool around. It's not fellowship time. By the way, what is a song service in the church? It's praise to who? Who are we giving praise to? Who are we singing about? Who are we glorifying with the hymns? That's high. You say, I don't respect that preacher. You better respect that preacher's boss. And that's what the song service is about. Not time to talk and text and all that junk. That it's a wonder God don't bring some lightning bolts on some folks. Honest. I went to that church that night, my buddy, and they took the hymn book, and the girls did. And they'd point to the title of the hymn, and then they'd take their thumb and they'd black out a word, they'd change a word. They were making messages. I guess they were texting. Out of the titles of the songs, with dirty innuendos. Church girls. Now, was any chance of those two lost boys getting saved? Not a chance. We didn't hear the message. I sat there straight. I tried to look at the preacher, but I don't remember a thing he said. I later on had that same preacher show up in college class when I was in college, and he came over and he taught some classes. He was a good man. I'm sure he preached the gospel to us that night. I don't know nothing he said. And I say to you, young people in this church building, you're going to have somebody's blood on your hand if you distract them from hearing the message of God they ought to hear. That's why I'm fussing at the kids in the balcony, and that's why I will clear that place out. You'll have to show ID to get in that balcony if you mess with me. I'm not kidding you. And I will enforce it. Parents up there or guardians up there, and I'm going to be ashamed of some of you if I have to get any tougher on this. I was disappointed that after what I said Sunday night, I had to send some ushers up there tonight. Very disappointed. It won't happen Sunday. You say, I'll go to some other church. Please do, because you're not going to act that way here. That's all there is to it. Now, I understand the culture gap, but you don't solve it by compromising with it. Now, you see the culture gap show up in a lot of ways. You see these stupid idiot boys walking down the street with one hand holding up their britches. Culture gap, sending a message. I'm not sure, but the guy that got on the plane with the explosive, that may be why it didn't go off. At least the film I saw with him, he was running down the aisle with his pants down. Did you see that? I'm not sure whether he was sending a message or getting a message. I think he got a little blister out of it, I understand. Anyway, you see it in the crowd that comes to church. They treat it like it was a ball game. It's the house of God. It's God's house. It don't belong to the school board. It don't belong to the government. It's God's house. That's why we got to have our respect there. There ought to be an awe and a fear of God. And I don't have much time to finish this off, and I'm way behind. But Several years ago, I went down to the public school right over here, public Haines City High School. I don't cover up for anybody. I went right down to the Haines City High School because we had an evangelist in. I was trying to get young people to come. By the way, we did get some of them, and we did get some of them saved. The principal, who I knew, was a good man. He and I walked around, and he allowed me to give an invitation to the rally we were having. Now, I had to give it carefully. It was a sports rally, but preaching would be there. So we used the sports to get them, and we preached to them. But as we went from classroom to classroom, as we would open a door, I'm talking about the principal, the top man of the school. As we would walk in the room, chaos was going on. Not one room, but every room we went in, chaos was going on. And I thought, something special, first room I went into. By the time we got to the last room, I saw it was normal. That was normal conduct. The teacher's desk would be there. There'd be a few students around the desk, and the rest of them's carrying on their own thing out there. Now, when we'd walk in the door, I expected everybody to grab their seats like I would have done in high school. The principal's here. You'd have heard a pin drop when I was in high school. Didn't matter. Didn't change a thing. And I finally, after a little bit, I said something to him. He basically admitted that's pretty much the way it was. And then a teacher I knew in the room, a lady, I said to her, you teach like this every day? She said, preacher, said, you see those few around my desk? I said, yeah. She said, they're the ones who want to learn. She said, the rest of them, I can't do anything with. Now, that's a joke, folks. Now, maybe it's not that bad now, but I'm telling you what I saw and who I talked to. And that's several years ago. Several years ago. Now, if you compromise with that culture, no wonder some of them go out of school, they don't learn to read, they don't learn anything else, they can't hardly fill out their welfare form without some help, amen? You see it in little things like that, general conduct, the cell phone. Well, I don't know what to call it. But it's foolishness. And the lack of respect shown in God's house with them. You say, you said all that Sunday night. I'm saying it again in case you missed it. It is crazy, folks. Now, I understand we are a traditional church. And I understand the generation gap and the culture gap has left Landmark way back here. But they left us because we were not trying to keep up. We're not going that way. We believe the traditional way God blessed through hundreds of years and is honoring and still is. But he won't honor us if we compromise with that crowd. And by the way, you don't reach them that way. You never reach people in the hog pen by getting in the hog pen with them. All you do is get the hog pen on you. You get the slop, the garbage on you. You got to stay out where it's clean and rescue the ones out of the dirt. And that's what I want to say to our best kids. You ought to be in a place, I'm talking about, listen, lost boys, lost girls are not bad any worse than anybody else. They just need to be exposed to the truth of Jesus Christ. And you say, what's the answer for the culture gap? The same thing that's is the answer for everything else, truth, God's truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so our job is for folks to come and give them the truth. Now, you don't do that by compromise. In a song service, you're not helping some lost kid you stand by talking to him. He needs to see it's real to you. Most everybody that comes to church, the devil sends them as a judge, sends them as a critic. Every time, that's it. The biggest thing he's going to try to point out is any fake thing he can find. And so if you come and it's not real to you, then it does great harm. Great harm. Being real, is it real to you? Now, if you're really born again, if you're really saved, if you really love the Lord, it ought to be real to you. It'll show if it's real to you. You got to be careful. So I've had a couple of you come to me because I fussed at the kids Sunday night. I've had a couple of you come to me in defense. That's okay. That's okay. And I understand. Well, they were not participating. Yeah, but they were sitting there. They were sitting there. Now, follow me a minute. That's the wrong place to sit. Where somebody else is not doing right, you get branded whether you're guilty or not. You're already partially guilty or you wouldn't be sitting there. Think about the farmer that was tired of the crows getting in his corn. It's a farmer that his kids had an unusual pet for a farmhouse in those days. They had a Polly parrot. Farmer went out with his shotgun one day and he started blasting crows. Next thing he knew, he heard a squawk he recognized and he saw Polly fall into the ground. He ran over and grabbed Polly and brought her back in. The kids started crying and carrying on, but Polly's wing was just, had a little shot in it, bird shot in it. She was gonna live. So they patched up her wing, and Polly was squawking, and the kids were saying, why, Daddy, why did you shoot her? And Polly spoke up and said, wrong crowd, wrong crowd. You get the point? Wouldn't have got shot, hadn't been in the wrong crowd. Truth is, that happens all the time. No wonder this Bible tells us to be separate, huh? What's the answer? Well, a little wisdom. Us adults need to use a little wisdom. But we need to be willing to take time and be an example. Most kids need an authority they don't have today. They need somebody to say, this is the way, walk in it. This is what God's way is. This is the way to go. And most kids just need truth. They're not bad. They're not even rebellious. They just never have in their culture been presented with what is right. And our job is to present it. But I'll tell you one thing. Any of you day school teachers out there, you know you can't teach a class like I described walking with that principle in. You first got to have law and order before anything can be taught. Same thing in church. Same thing anywhere you're going to get any truth across. And say, what's the answer? Got 2:10 coming. How much is God going to give us? Is the rapture going to take place? All that, I don't know. But I know whatever part he gives, if he gives all of it, we got a commission to obey, a command to follow, and that's to do what's right all the way through it. Answer for another year? It's the answer for last year, and the year before that, and the year before that. It's still the gospel. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, no matter which side the culture gap you're on. Truth will get you on the right side. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew first and also the Greek. That's also the 60s culture, the 70s culture. 80s, 90s, 2000, had a young man from another country that where they have caste systems. And it's been some time ago, several years back. He was kind of fussing because we had him on work scholarship, and of all things, we expected him to work. So he's fussing a little bit. He said something like this. We have said, I'm of a certain caste. That's a social level. He said, we have servants to do that stuff. I said, well, in America, we only have one caste. It's called Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God and we're all sinners, and we're all on the same level, and that's where you're going to be if you stay here. He didn't stay long. Truth of the matter is, everybody needs the gospel right across the board. It's the answer. The power of God unto salvation. Need the truth. Need the truth. And so when I tell the teens they're going to do right and participate correctly in Landmark or not being here, you back me all the way on that stuff. Because it's right. And I'm not mad or mean with anybody. I'm just telling you how it's going to be. Because I'm not going to be like the priest Eli in the Old Testament. Let a couple of boys get me in trouble with God. Even if it was his sons, you know the story. But it's right for us as we think about the new year, and we'll talk about it tomorrow night and be as optimistic about it as we can, still being realistic about it. Say, what's Landmark going to do in 2010? What we did in 2009 and 2008 and 2007 and 2006 and right on back down the line. Just stick by what's right. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand, please.